Hey, what you waiting on? Check, checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show. Turn your radio on. Chelsea just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium. I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother. Make you think with your medulla. You a student, I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students. Nah, everyone can do it. Do this, I ain't new to this. My style is rich, it's lucrative. Maneuver through it. You know it's fashion. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday at the kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Daly. Shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Daly. You know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Tony, Tony, Tony. Go BBS Radio.
We're back another Thursday, and I'm joined by, you know, my man, V. What is going on, BC? Listen, man, I knew you was going to come back on with your grand appearance with that foolishness on. So what I did, I came with mine. I can say this here is it. When people see this brand, look at it. They might have thought that brand that you got on was like a high school or something like that. That must be a high school. But when they saw this logo, they said, oh, we know who that is. That's the NFL. That is the Dallas Cowboys, which brings value to the NFL. Much value. You know that, right?
I am thankful to be back on the Tony Sands Show another year, talking great football and giving the fans what they don't have. And also, you're giving the fans a hat on national internet and the whole world to see that nobody else has. Nobody can find this hat, ladies and gentlemen. Look at this hat that this man is wearing right here, right now. You go to NFL.com, you cannot find that hat. Michael Irvin sent him the hat.
I got a hat. I make sure I got a hat for every home game. I made sure that, so when the Dallas Cowboys play at home, and if I'm chilling at my house, like I told y'all earlier, I built the bar outside my in my backyard too. Cause my backyard is like I said, I made that beautified. I love, that's my therapy area. That's where I go to unwind. Well, when I was back then, I was taking pictures and I was uploading them online to let people see what I put all my cowboy hats over the top of the bar. Some people said, oh, I was gonna say that bar looked good, but then you decorated it with that nice horse harp. But I tell people, listen, that enhanced the value of my bar. Anytime you put that star by something, it enhances the value. And listen, without further ado, let's jump into it, the value. Trey Lance's value, and we're talking about value because his value wasn't that good in San Francisco.
Correct.
After being a first-round draft pick, now he goes to the Dallas Cowboys. In spite of him right at this point being the third quarterback on the roster, his value just shot up. Everybody's talking about Trey Lance right now.
I'll give the Dallas Cowboys a lot of credit. And I called you immediately when it happened. You got to give me my props for that. I said, Tone, this is a good acquisition for you. This is a good acquisition. Listen, giving up a fourth-round pick for a guy who was a first-round, quote-unquote, talent, excellent acquisition for the Dallas Cowboys. It's a win situation. Okay. Nah. If Trey Lance never materialized, ladies and gentlemen, as a Cowboy fan, you basically gave up no compensation or nothing for the guy. Yeah. Right. So now it comes down to coaching and Mike McCarthy, and can they actually, evolve and actually grow this young man to being a quarterback? Because, ladies and gentlemen, he's only had 20 college football games at North Dakota State. That's Trey Lance. He's been in camp. Right.
We talked about that. We talked about
games. 20 games.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Go
and that's the whole thing. You know, we have Boss Bozeman, the quarterback guru on the right here on the Tony Sands Show. They explain to everybody what it takes to be an NFL quarterback, from guys that he works with to the fundamental game. It was riveting and enlightening information. That information that we got from Bozeman tells us a lot about the Trey Lance situation. Not that Kyle Shanahan couldn't coach him, but experience has a lot to do with it. 20 college football games, Tony, is not enough football games for a guy to be drafted in the first round of the NFL draft, and it was too much pressure put on Trey Lance to evolve when he should have been playing college.
And I think that's when you look at your scouting department, I think San Francisco has the research and take a soul search and look at their scouting department that, hey, listen, we got to be careful that we don't go and jump on something so quick, because 1 year, especially when you're dealing with the quarterback position, we can't afford to take a 1 year superstar. Because that one-year superstar, can he read defenses? Can he evolve in the NFL? Can he handle what it takes to be a quarterback in the NFL when only having really 20 games at the college level? And the season is big. Even shorter. The season that's is big. Shorter. Right. So that's – but now what Jerry Jones has done, said, okay, I see value in the kid. Here we go, and this is what people don't want to realize. Everybody's saying, oh, they signed that Trey Lance. Now that's pressure on Dak. Oh, they finna take over Dak. That's not what he's doing. Now he's brought notoriety back to the Cowboys, because when things dry up and the NFL music slows down, Jerry Jones does something. And he did something by signing Trey Lance. He added value to the quarterback room. Cooper right. Rush. And I think when we're looking at it now with the value of Cooper Rush, follow where I'm going. I use Cooper Rush next year as what? Trade bait. If possibly not this year. As trade bait. Go ahead.
That's a good point. But here's, look at it from this standpoint. No matter if you got a Ferrari or you got a Hoopty, you still need insurance.
Yes. And that's how still insurance. Need insurance.
And that's correct. What Jerry Jones did. Jerry Jones said, I might have a Ferrari, or I might have this low budget beat up car that I nobody want. But guess what? It's still insurance. So what he did was he insurance. So he assured the quarterback position by solidifying a guy that's saying, hey, listen, young man, there's no pressure here. All you got to do is immerse yourself into the system and the fundamental game. Mike McCarthy has already developed quarterbacks before. We've seen Aaron Rodgers evolve. We've seen Mike McCarthy work with Dak Prescott and have some form of success. So we already know that the Dallas Cowboys have the structure put in place to be able to put this guy in the right positions to be able to excel in a year or two. So it's just a question of, can he evolve? But it's a win-win situation, in my opinion, for the Dallas Cowboys.
And I think he can evolve. Everybody got to remember, and we talk about Aaron Rodgers. The same thing happened with Brett Favre. They drafted Aaron Rodgers. Everybody thought, okay, here we go. Did they ask Brett Favre about anything? Did this happen? Did that happen? But what Aaron Rodgers was doing in the Green Bay Packers organization, said, we are letting him develop. Despite him and Brett Favre not getting along, if you're in the quarterback room and you're listening up enough, you're going to learn and take something out of it. So what I'm looking at now, I'm looking at Dak Prescott, Trey Lance, Cooper Rush in the same. When you're looking at those quarterbacks, Cooper Rush can go and play on a couple of teams. We see New England winning pretty much everybody but one person besides Jones out of their quarterback room. So what are we saying? Or what are we saying about the quarterback? That, we need a starting quarterback, and it's good to have a safety valve. Because as we know, Dak Prescott has been injured over the course of time. He's taken the injuries over the course of time. So I'm quite sure they're looking at that and saying, hey, listen, if we get Trey Lance in here and we develop him, and we got to understand too, Dak, Dak guaranteed money, it ain't so guaranteed. So
that's right. It's insurance. Hey, listen, if Dak doesn't perform for whatever reason, even if you like Dak Prescott, don't like him. If Dak Prescott does not perform, again, you've got possible insurance, right?
There we go.
Also, in this league now, Tony, everybody we know has three quarterbacks realistically.
Correct.
Okay. You're one snap away from the starting quarterback going down at any moment. The backup coming having to come in for the rest for that time. Next week, what that means is that third string guy, Trey Lance, would now be the backup. Okay. So he's the number two. So in essence, now the National Football League is a three quarterback tiered system. There's an elite guy, and there's a guy that you hope can fill in the job for a few weeks until he hopefully comes back. And then there's that insurance. You know what I'm saying?
And we've used our insurance before a couple of times with Dak Prescott. So we had to bring in Cooper Rush in order to keep us at playoff level, playoff talk. And he did well with that. It's just, I don't think that at that time, Cooper Rush was ready to really get us over that hump. And that's why I think they went back to Dak Prescott when they did. You're paying the guy a lot of money. You cannot not play Dak Prescott. You can't do it.
Right.
You
just, right. It's just not economics will determine. Right. And economics we talk about determines Aaron Rodgers. Who's playing first.
Yeah, yeah, we talk about Aaron Rodgers. Hey, let's get into this AFC East. We got to get into that. Ooh. Because, listen, as you know, I had a major interview with Major Wright. And we got a chance. I don't know if everybody's knowing about the new documentary with the University of Florida called Swamp Kings. Listen, when I got him, it took me a time when I got him. I was trying, we was hitting and missing. I saw him at the high school game. We were saying, yeah, he's like, I got you. I'm going to be there. And then he was traveling because he had to travel to Utah somewhere that Florida hasn't had to be on the road on a home game in the first right. season opener in years. So now they brought away to Utah. He had to go to Utah with them and was hitting and missing. Now he's like, yeah, you know, I said, well, it's only going to be a 10-minute interview. That's all I can. He said, that's all I can give you, coach, you know, because I'm moving around. I got to be scared. I understand. We get in this interview, man, and this thing lasts 30-something odd minutes. He was enjoying the interview, and we got a chance to talk about Swamp Kings, but we'll let the interview get into that, let that tell you about that. But let's get into the AFC East, the AFC division. When we look at the AFC division, man, I'm gonna tell you who. There's a couple of teams in there that I like that can I think can make some strides. Let's look at the AFC East. The team I think that's going to be my surprise team in AFC is the Jets.
The
Jets. Yes.
Why say that? The Jets.
Because with Aaron Rodgers gelling the way he is, and he's looking like he's having fun. My only question is how long does it take them to get their Aaron Rodgers on defense signed? That's my biggest question. But if they don't, Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, to me, could possibly take that division.
Definitely, 100%. And you know, every Jet fan is excited for you to hear you say that because they haven't won since 1969.
Yes, yes. And that's crazy.
Joe Namath was the last time. That's right. And besides that, you know, Bill Parcells taking them to the championship game and a little bit of intermittent successes besides that, Rex Ryan. Okay. But outside of that, folks, the Jet fan has not won anything. So the New York Jet fan is excited and eager to hear what you just now said. And you got Aaron Rodgers, Garrett Wilson. You now got a major acquisition of Dalvin Cook now came in. Right?
Yes.
Running back. Right. You got a stellar defense with a program that's already been put in place by Robert Saleh. So, and on the other side, you got Sauce Gardner, who may be, quote unquote, the best corner in the league.
Best corner in the league. Yes.
Right. So he's definitely up there with Diggs from your team, Patrick Surtain, my team, Sauce Gardner, right? You know, so these are the elite guys. So when you talk about the Jets, you got to consider and say, wait a minute. Now, the Jets got some elite talent.
Correct.
Multiple second year in a program with, you know, multiple years in a program with Robert Saleh. Good draft, good talent, hungry kids, following the lead of Aaron Rodgers. And like you said, for the first time, Aaron Rodgers looks like he's actually enjoying himself.
Enjoying football.
Yeah. See, he might throw 45 touchdowns if he really enjoyed it, right? So we don't know. We don't know which Aaron Rodgers we're going to get. We don't know. And the question, though, is I would have for the New York Jets is, is the offensive line willing and committed to whipping teams for 17 weeks in order to protect Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers. And that's the question. But I think he's having fun. I think, and that, like I said, my surprise team in the East is – the Jets. I think they're going to do something. I think it's going to be them one or two behind, you know, them or Buffalo that takes that division. So it's going to be a one or two toss up in that.
Yeah,
series.
I'm taking Buffalo for sure.
You going Buffalo? I'm gonna go with the Jets. You heard it. We got it. Let's move to the West. Let's go to the West. And I need not say who Vaughn has in the West, but I'm gonna tell you
right now. I do not have the Denver Broncos winning the division.
Okay, I'm going with the Chiefs.
I'm a diehard Broncos fan.
But you are a realist.
I'm a realist. And from a journalistic standpoint, I will not sit here and ruin myself by picking my own team just to pick them and aggravate everybody, right?
Yes.
But realistically, Kansas City Chiefs, Tony, as you just now said, I agree with you. Sky Moore, Pacheco. See, what people are not paying attention to with the Kansas City Chiefs, Tony, is that look at the amount of young players that they have. This Justin Ross now. They got. I mean, these guys are just Andy Reid is constantly bringing in fresh, young talent. You still got Kadarius Toney on the team, and nobody even talks about him. Okay?
Yes.
So now it's just a big thing. Kansas City Chiefs, number one team in the division. But I will say the caveat is do not underestimate the Los Angeles Chargers from winning this division.
Yes. I'm going to say Chiefs. I'm not even going to even dib and dab with the Chargers. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Let's move to the North. Let's go to the North. And as we know, to me, I'm going straight Ravens in the North. The Ravens have the most talent in that division.
All right, question out the West. I'm going to go Cleveland Browns, and the first question I'm going to throw to you about the Baltimore Ravens is who's in the secondary?
These guys in the secondary
are unproven in the secondary. Now, offense is finally looking good, right?
I said their offense. I think they're going to be able to outscore some people, so that's going to help that their defense can't stop no one in the secondary. But I'm gonna say that Lamar Jackson and company, Hollywood, and the crew is going to be able to play Hollywood-like football in that division.
Zay Flowers is the guy everyone must watch out for. The young man is joystick for big time. I mean, this kid is I call him the Blur. You know, from the Transformers, the Blur. It was just like sort of like a flash, man. When he catches the ball, Zay Flowers is incredible. Watched a lot of games at Boston College that he played in on TV. Really like the kid. Big pickup for Lamar Jackson. I think he's going to help out with OBJ. You still got Mark Andrews. You got the Gus Bus running the ball. So Baltimore will definitely be in the mix. I think it's a two-team race. I got Baltimore and I got Cleveland going at it for the division. But I actually got Cleveland. I think Deshaun Watson, Elijah Moore, Amari Cooper. I think the offense is stellar. I think the head coach will have a better plan. And he got Jim Schwartz now as his defensive coordinator. Yeah. Schwartz has been outstanding before. Schwartz will have these guys motivated. I think they're going to whip a lot of people at the line of scrimmage. I'll take Cleveland Browns for the division. Cincinnati's going to slide back, though. Cincinnati, we've got to mention Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati
since we both agree, slide back,
yeah.
right?
Okay. Yeah, slide. Yeah. Let's go to one of the worst divisions in football. Let's go to the AFC South. I'm going to go with Jacksonville. I'm going Jacksonville in this division.
Okay, Jacksonville, I agree with you. And the reason why I'm agreeing with you is because it's just too much talent. It's a bunch of fast guys running around.
All over the place.
You know, you got the – all over the place. You got ETN. You got Christian
Calvin Ridley.
You got Calvin Ridley now is there. I mean, and listen, the coach, anybody thinks that Doug Peterson can't coach football is sadly mistaken. Peterson is one of the great minds in football right now. I think he's going to have him geared up another year of a program. I'm agreeing with you, Jacksonville. And I once thought Tennessee was going to do something, but when Hopkins went from Arizona to Tennessee, I don't take him seriously playing with Tannehill and the slow style of offense that they play. I couldn't take it serious, you know?
Yeah. We're going to head to a commercial break, guys. And listen, we got to, on the other side of this, we're going to talk Swamp Kings with Major Wright, as he break down Swamp Kings, what it was like for him when he entered the University of Florida and what it was like walking out a tunnel in his first NFL game. He's going to give you that insight. We're coming back on the other side of this commercial break. Stay tuned.
That's how you train like a beast.
Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jeff. What you got? No. Not on my watch.
No way.
Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got. I'm going to the top.
College football in the South is way bigger than professional sports.
When you come to Florida, football is the world here.
Everything is win or loser.
Anything less than winning a national title, you're a failure.
1, 2, 3, showdown!
Florida was not winning. The feeling was that getting Urban Meyer, Florida could restore what they had lost.
I needed to build this team.
Urban said, I'm going to treat my superstars like superstars, and I'm going to treat my shit like shit.
They was training like we was going to Iraq.
It was unmerciful.
Our front seven, they didn't try to hit you. They tried to hurt you. And we were the number one team in the country.
They walk around like the kings of campus, and that took over.
Called it Gaines Vegas.
In Gaines Vegas, we party.
It's just too much temptation.
Another Florida Gator has been arrested.
We never got police reports. It ended up just getting fixed.
You had never seen a teen that was undefeated be so miserable.
People do not know what it's like to give so much to something.
30 minutes for the rest of our lives!
That it's everything.
We're back here live on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. Listen, I have a guest that is unbelievable. When you see that soundbite and you listen to what the University of Florida did to enhance their chance to win a national championship, my God, that his class came in to help that. Man, you can't forget. Listen, I got my guy. Without further ado, let's bring 5-star high school recruit, went to the St. Thomas, went to the University of Florida, then was drafted by the Chicago Bears. And when I show you, can lay the wood, typical of laying the wood. Without further ado, let me bring my main man to the stage. Hey, bring him on, Thomas. Let's go. Major Wright coming. What's going on, Major? What's happening, my brother?
What's going on, Tony, man? Thank you for having me on, bro. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. I know your schedule is busy, and we was trying to connect as quick as possible, man. Listen, and I was telling right now, that documentary, everyone that plays any sport, not just football, but any sport should watch it. I was in my backyard and it had me floored. I didn't go in the house, I'm telling you, in my backyard, it's about 2 o'clock. And you know, you're back here in South Florida, you're sitting in your backyard and watching my television. And it was crazy because I stumbled across it. Went to Netflix, I said, I'm in my backyard, I'm going to go next. And I seen some say Swamp Kings. Swamp Kings? What's that? Turned it on. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I'm watching this. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going to get cooked. And then episode. I'm like, oh, so it's another part of this. And then when I saw you pop up in there, you went to talk and you went illustrating it. I'm like, my wife came to the slide. Don't you know? I said, no, baby, I'm staying right here. I'm inside. I do not want to come inside right now. I am watching something that has brought me in. I mean, drawn me in like no other. First of all, before we get to that, let me let people understand that who Major Wright is and what Major Wright is doing. Major Wright, St. Thomas Aquinas, we are brothers. We are brothers of the same, of different mothers. I grew up with Major's mom.
Yeah.
So that make that connection even more greater. Not only that, Major, you was a 5-star athlete coming out of high school. For those kids, before we get to the documentary and further, for those kids that are understanding what it takes and the pressure that a 5-star athlete has on, what was that like when once your rankings and your stars started coming up about, what was it that kept you grounded?
Like for me, I had to always prove myself. So I moved around a lot. So like a lot of people don't know my backstory, but I moved from Fort Lauderdale to Orlando, Orlando back to Fort Lauderdale to Tallahassee, Tallahassee back to Fort Lauderdale to Gainesville, you know. So all those moves always made me have to go into these new neighborhoods and this new team and prove myself because they already have talent there. So when I come, they know nothing about me.
Correct.
It always put on my mind that wherever I'm at, I got to always prove myself and show them that I'm better than the talent that they have there. So once I adapted that mentality, it was on. Like I started understanding it, how to use it. And I started using it for motivation and start pushing me and keep me going. Every time I get tired or when I feel like I don't want to do this, man, I think about this, man, like, you know, I got to continue to prove myself, you know, because these coaches, they don't, and these players, they know nothing about me, but I got to show them.
Yes. Now, and here you go. Okay. Like you say, you moved around, but now you get an opportunity to come to a powerhouse school such as St. Thomas. What was that like? Walk us through that phase of when you knew that you was getting ready to go to St. Thomas.
So, like, at first, I ain't even really, like, know nothing about St. Thomas. It's crazy. Me being born and raised in Fort Lauderdale, like, I knew nothing about and how good St. Thomas was because, like, my neighborhood, nobody makes it to St. Thomas.
Correct.
Okay. So nobody talks about St. Thomas. So it's like, man, we talk about all these public schools around here, but St. Thomas. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that was foreign in my neighborhood. But when I got the opportunity to understand it, Bobby Crawford was like, bro, I had moved back down from Tallahassee. And Bobby was like, man, you know, bro, I think you should come, you know, talk with George Smith. I'm gonna hook that meeting up for you. You should come to St. Thomas. So he set the meeting up. I got there, you know, talked to George. And when I left, like it didn't make me feel like I was you know, a Raider. You know what I'm saying? So it was like maybe 2 weeks before the deadline, you know. So I'm like, I gotta pick a school, you know what I'm saying? Mama, she went to Bord Anderson. So I'm like, Mama,
yes.
I'm going to go to Bord Anderson too. Forget it. In the family.
Yes.
So I go out to Bord Anderson, and at that time, my cousin Gerald Williams, he's out there. He's the starting middle linebacker. He a five-star. You know what I'm saying? Like, he got his stuff going on. So he like, come out here with me. You know, we'll put you at safety, and you go from there. And now, at this time, I've never played safety a day in my life. Now, I came down here, and I switched my position.
Right.
Tallahassee, I was playing linebacker.
Okay.
I got down here and I switched my position because I like how Sean Taylor played. And
yes. There
was a dude named DeAndre McDaniel on our team that he was the real deal. So I came down here, I switched my position. So when I got to Bord Anderson, we practiced. I went out there to like maybe one or two practice. And then I get a call from Coach Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. So I pick up the phone. Hello, like, Major. Where the hell are you?
Yeah, that sounds just like it.
I'm like, Coach. You know, I ain't know that. He was like, if you don't get your butt out here tomorrow, you know what I'm saying? Tomorrow and bring your cleats and be ready, you know, to go tomorrow. I'm like, oh. So then the next day I went out to St. Thomas, and then from that day forth, my mind had clicked to like, I gotta prove to these coaches.
Who I am.
So as soon as I got on campus, the first day we put on pads, I showed coaches what I was about. You know what I'm saying? So
yes. Listen, man, it, your story pretty much mirrors what mine did. Once I had an opportunity, I was at 1A school and I, you know, was a 1,000-yard rusher. And then now here I go, I'm going into St. Thomas. My uncle Michael Irvin's getting ready to leave, but I'm coming in. And now it goes to back to where already had running backs there. They had Albertson and Stephen Scott, who is now presently the assistant head coach there. These were the guys that's supposed to be in the next era to the throne behind a guy like Slip Watkins. So now me, I'm just a little peon. I'm just trying to find my way, but I knew what I had within me is going to help me reach the pinnacle of what I needed to reach at St. Thomas. I get there and I get comfortable. I get comfortable. Hey, this is what I want. And I'm going to show everybody, like you said, coaches, players, that, hey, listen, I have arrived here. And whoever was here in those positions, either two things going to happen. Either you're going to leave or you're going to go and find another position because that position belongs to me. And I started, listen, and I started hearing a lot about your name. You know, before I even met you, I started hearing your name. And then I connected, you know, once they said, yeah, that's his mom. I said, oh, for real? Oh, yeah, we grew up together. We grew up together. She grew up in Cambridge Square. We were tight. Everybody in that community was tight. So I'm like, okay. All right. So he got that. He gonna have that dog in him. She gonna make sure he has that dog in him. So now I'm hearing about you. I'm hearing now, okay, this guy's a five-star, you know, five-star athlete. Scout got him as a five-star. Wow. Now you get to your part. You started making. When was it that you established yourself at St. Thomas and was able to say, hey, I have arrived here at this school?
I ain't gonna lie. It was early. Like, I think we had a jamboree. We had like a jamboree against like Miami Central. And, you know, they had some dogs on their team. So first game I come out, I crush it. Oh my God, I'm talking about, I got somebody talking about who is number 21. Like, I'm about, I am lighting fire. Like, they can't get enough of me out there. So, then the next game we had played, it was like Cardinal Gibbons.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you, it was like my coming out game. And I, man, like, that's when everybody knew, like, I was a hitter.
Like, he was coming to play.
There was no fact that number 21, he coming downhill, and he's not playing.
What made you choose the number 21? Because I heard you bring up Sean Taylor.
So Sean Taylor, and then my mom's birthday on the 21st.
Okay.
So 21 just started, like, fitting in.
It
just started being around me a lot more. My daughter, her birthday is on the 21st now, you know. It's now, it's just like embedded in me, you know.
And okay, we go through St. Thomas, you've established yourself there. Now your recruiting process starts. What was that like? And when you decided to choose Florida, did you have help? Was that something that you decided on your own? What was that process like?
Oh man, that process was so fun for me. I ain't gonna even lie, because I was recruited by everybody, you know what I'm saying? So the process was so fun. And then I had help, you know. I had Chris Carter, you know.
Okay, yes, time, yes, because Chris was with you guys. Yes.
At the time I started, you know, staying with Chris, I started getting the right guidance. He started helping me, you know, getting me to understand and see things a lot better, understand why I want to go to college, you know. And for me, you know, the reason why Florida was so big for me is because, one, Reggie Nelson was leaving. Reggie was you know, a first rounder, and crushed it at the University of Florida. Two, it was only 4 hours away from, you know, my hometown. Yeah. So it won't cost my mom as much, you know, to get, you know, back and forth. And then three, they had just won a national championship. So they got the number one recruiting class coming in. So yes. they got guys like Joe Hayden, you know, Hernandez, Cam Newton, you know, Ahmad Black, the Pouncies. They got all these guys, Chris Rainey. They got all, and I stand against these guys all in high school, and I know how good these guys really is. So really made me understand that, like, I may need to jump with them, and then now we create something that, you know, be legendary.
And listen, when you guys, this will have, Thomas, can we play just a small bit of that, the first part of that documentary? Can we just.
College football in the South is way bigger than professional sports.
When you come to Florida, football is the world here.
Everything is win or loser.
Anything less than winning a national title, you're a failure.
1, 2, 3, show power!
Right now, listen. There are certain, and we know as college athletes, when you're trying to build a championship, what goes in there's certain things that go. What made you guys decide at this point, after all the glitz and glamour, you done gone to the Chicago Bears, have had success? What made someone come up with the idea that we're going to do a documentary on the University of Florida called Swamp?
Well, for one, like, honestly, our team is, I don't think, like, teams did what we did, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it made it so much special, you know, the players we had on our team, the coaches we had.
Yes.
People really wanted to know how we became what we became, you know? So the idea of, you know, doing a documentary has like flashed out there, but, you know, us really making that come to fruition and making that happen was crazy, you know. And then for me to be a part of it made it really special, you know. So I loved everything about it.
Listen, when there's certain parts of that you know, a lot of people don't get the chance to see unless you play major college sports. You're trying to drive, just like he said, winning is everything. Winning and everything that went into the process and the different levels of how coaches treat players.
Yeah.
I was shocked to hear that you guys really brought it out. But when you think about it, It is. There's those luxury guys, those middle class guys, and that's those guys that we know that just hanging on the bubble. And the treat is totally different. I walk in, and when they walk in, so we understand that. A lot of people look at it and they say, okay, this is what went into Florida building those championships. But then they got an opportunity to see the hard work. Because I when I looked at that sound, when I went through the move, the documentary, and I seen what Amon Black said, and this it kind of resonated with me. He said, man, you know, a reporter came to me and said that I was a recruiting mistake.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of kids don't really understand that sometimes coaches will say, you know, and I'd have been in a coaching meeting room because I was coaching, hey, man, that was a recruiting mistake. And sometimes they would drive themselves to drive you off. And I'm quite sure with Amon hearing that, how much, and you have you ever talked to him, how much of a drive you think he had to prove everybody wrong, just as we talked about earlier?
See, like Amon was never, like, sorry. You know what I'm saying? Like, Amon went there coming in playing corner. They moved him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So Amon's story just within itself is just amazing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's undersized. He's not the biggest guy, but got the best hands on the team. And to come up and hit you like he's 6'3" and 220 pounds. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes. Like that's the type of player Amon is. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, like, for him, he used that as motivation, like Amon, like, man, you know what? I'm going to show these coaches, you know, what it was about. Because at one point, man, Amon was like, he was the guy that will go get our Gatorades. The coach would make him go get our Gatorades at one point.
Wow. So I knew.
So for that light to switch and shift, man, Amon, oh, my God, like. When he led the NCAA in picks and showed everybody who he really was.
And I'm quite sure, as we got into the documentary, it came out that, hey, listen, this guy came ready to play. And I look at, you know, everybody that was a part of that recruiting class. And the guys that was a part of that recruiting class was the, you know, the biggest part of being leaders. They had to go back and turn themselves, those that had to go back and make themselves become leaders.
Yeah.
Because everybody, and when he told me that, you know, we got into the Tim Tebow and what's my linebacker name? They're in the locker room, and they are now, you got an offense and a defensive unit going at each other because now he's calling out Tim Tebow, something that no one, I'm quite sure, was scared to do in Gainesville.
Yeah, Spike same play. And like, see, that's the, like, that was a big difference of, like, making sure that you have the right leaders on your team. Lead.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? And not just around here talking and just the talk.
Correct.
It don't matter who you is. Like, it don't matter who you are. If you messing up, it don't matter who you are. We going to be after you.
That you show. And that show. Yes.
Yeah. And that's how it was. Even, like, you know, position groups. All that, everybody held each other accountable, you know what I'm saying? So
Correct. That
right there is, it kind of sets us apart because we had true leaders.
Now you know what people are starting to say and what they're starting to compare. They're starting to compare. It's so ironic. Both of these, one was you guys had a series. University of Miami 30 for 30, they say, well, we couldn't get that deep because it was more television. There's on Netflix, so they can get that deep. I'm quite sure you're starting to hear a lot more of, hey, you know, y'all documentary, you know, putting it at a whole nother level. When I look at it, hold me to it. I enjoyed watching you guys' documentary. I think both of them had their place.
Yeah.
For the 30 for 30 to being television pressure, they had to taper it down. Netflix let you guys say, do, act how you want. How are you getting coach involved in it? Was that, I wonder how hard that was to get coach to sit down and really talk about what all went on in that documentary.
So he was on board before I was. So
oh,
I,
wow.
Yeah. That's a question. That's a question I can't even ask because I don't know. You know, he was on before I was, and then I ended up finding out he was on. We all got on, and you know, but yeah, he was on before I was.
What was it like, Coach? What was it like playing?
Just know you had to be what you say you was.
Correct.
He was gonna make sure you was who you say you was, you know. Uh-huh. So it wasn't the easiest because he made sure he made it tough and difficult, you know. But it was great, man. I can tell you he's a great coach. I like towards the end of my career, you know, mm-hmm. Like we had our mishap where, you know, I ended up leaving school early just because of right. The things that, you know, we was, you know, battling. So, but even with like that mishap, he's still a great coach, you know, like that don't take away from him being a great coach, you know.
Now you say you talk about you getting ready to you leave early.
Mm-hmm.
You get drafted. What was it like coming out of the tunnel at your first NFL game? What was going through your mind?
Oh my God, it was lit because, man, my dream has come true. Like, man, every kid, if you played sport growing up,
yes,
you wanted to become a professional football player.
Yes, yes.
Or basket, whatever sport you're
what
in.
What you play, you wanted to be the top. Right.
So for me to live this dream all the way out from being 7 years old all the way to 21 years old and me sticking with this and me going through these ups and downs, through these difficult moments in my life and still pushing through, man, that feeling was amazing, man. Oh my God, there wasn't a better feeling. There wasn't a better feeling than making my dream come true and actually living out this dream. So that was amazing. And then like my first mentality was, it's just like, cause I remember like it was just like, go out here, play fast and just do my job. You know what I'm saying? Like just do my job and let the game come to me. So, and then, like me, I started playing early. Like, you know, I got
as a friend, yes. You
know, I'm in the mix. My first preseason game, I had 9 tackles. I broke my middle finger, right? And I had like a tackle for a loss. I was still playing with a broke finger. They took me out, right? I ain't play no more preseason game, but they knew already, like what
they needed in you. Yes.
So I chilled the rest of the preseason. Then once the regular season got, I started already getting the rotation. I'm in the rotation, you know. So now me playing special team, me proving myself on special teams, now it started providing opportunities on defense, you know. So when those opportunities started opening, they could trust me on special teams. Now I can go out here and not continue to add and contribute to defense. They just like, yeah, we're going to start rotating them a little more. We'll get them a little more time. Get them a little more time. Next thing you know, my mentality. With the coaches.
Hey, listen, when you talk about mentality, before we get to, because I want to show something, and I want to show young kids that are watching the show, my fans. Thomas, can we play the, let me play the that second sound bite with that hit.
They'll come after them early in the down count. Bradford, not a body within 10 yards, lofting down the sideline for Johnson, and he is leveled by Major Wright.
Listen, man, what was that feeling like when you, now you know you can do two things here. I can either go and try to intercept this, or I can go and make a hit here. And yeah. Change the whole dynamics of this game.
Yeah.
Which one of those was more on your mind? Which I know which one was. Oh. But what was you thinking as you was going over the top of that?
I was never the safety that wanted to like always go for the picks. Like, nah. My mentality was, if I hit you, I can change how you feel about this game.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I can change how you play this game.
Correct.
If I hit you.
Now, would you have now? And we're gonna fast forward to this day and age. Would it be hard playing the safety position in this day and age?
Yeah.
Because you know that would be a penalty right there.
Yeah, for a fact. It's almost like where it's like flag football out there now, you know? And I didn't grow up, I'm happy I didn't grow up playing like that. I grew up where we could put helmet on helmet. We can go out there and go hit, you know? Yeah,
we can put that wood down. It wasn't no, you know, the things, like I said, the defenseless player. And that's considered a hit. In this day and age, they probably would be saying, okay, they're going to give you a penalty, and they're going to say, hey, listen, he got to go to the locker.
Yeah, so my thing is, like, how you want me to go about this? Like,
doing my job, yes.
And now he's going up for the ball. Yeah, if I'm going up for the ball and I run into him, that's still going to be a contact, whether it's, you know, I don't get it. So, like, it's best for me tonight. Because I'm happy where, go out there and go lay that hit, you know, put that hat.
And like you say, that's the era I grew up under, is that, you know, we was always hearing our defensive guys saying, hey, disconnect him and the ball from each other. Period. No ifs, ands, buts about it. It ain't no, okay, now we got to think about, you go out there, now he ain't going to be able to hit you like this, so don't worry about it. All out war in the game of football that we played. And they, you know, I think they've made it it kind of tapered it down. Or, you know, with the CTE, and we understand that. But, you know, it's sometimes hard when I watch the games to say, yeah, ref, that shouldn't have been called. But then I got to think of this day and age.
Yeah. Me too. I mean, it gives these wide receivers more opportunity.
Yes.
Like, you know, they can dance around and play across your face. Like, you ain't doing that when I'm playing. I don't care. Like, there's nothing you can be dancing and playing around, because like your life is really gonna be in jeopardy playing with me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, whether you gonna come across this middle or I'm coming to get you. Either or, one or the other gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it saves these receivers from, like, and they, you know, now it's a scoring lead. They wanna
run the ball.
You know,
autobomb, you going, let's go. They feel like that sells more tickets. But now listen. And you got to get ready. You got a game to go to this week, Thursday night. University of Florida plays Utah. You got to go to Utah.
Yeah.
A little different than if you had to go, like you said, 4 hours away. Give me your prediction on how you feel Florida would is going to fare out to Utah. You know, normally Utah would have to come this way. They normally travels to South Florida, and we're able to capitalize on the humidity and the heat. Going, you know, falls up to Utah, and give me
your prediction on how that game. First game of the season, a lot of kinks gonna be needing to get, you know, creased out. I think it's gonna be a low scoring game.
Mm-hmm.
I think both sides gonna be trying to figure things out. You know, I think we win it by three. It'll probably be. More like 14. Oh,
okay. No,
it'll probably be 14-10. We'll probably win it before. Yeah.
Wow. Hey, listen, man. I know you got a busy day. I want to thank you for taking the time out today, man, to join the Tony Sands Show. Listen, like I told you, you guys on fire. Y'all the hottest topic going. Right now is that I was telling some guys yesterday about it. And I said, man, I gotta go watch this documentary. I'm telling you, Swamp King. I said, you gotta go watch it. Even Coach Scott said, man, I'm gonna watch it tonight. I said, once you get in it, you can get out of it.
Nah.
It's over, man. So thank you, man. Listen, I'm gonna keep bringing you on, because you know your Chicago Bears has gotta make some some things happen. And, you know, Khalil Herbert, which is a guy I trained, which is one stop for the place in Chicago. So I like that in it. Listen, man, thank you. Have a safe trip up there, man. Thank you for joining the Tony Sands Show.
Man, appreciate you, Tony. Hey, Tony, man, keep doing your thing, bro. You're doing an amazing job providing a platform for kids to come on and talk. You know what I'm saying? You're doing your coach. Man, we love it, bro. You always been around. So we appreciate you, bro. Thank you.
Thank you, my bro.
Do what you're doing, bro. Love you, bro.
Love you too, man.
All right, bro.
Peace. And we're closing out here on the Tony Sands Show. Listen. I had to bring Major on because I wanted you guys to understand what it takes to be a champion, what it takes to build championships, and what it takes to maintain a championship. Those things don't come easy. It does not come easy when you're trying to build something. Major and the University of Florida gave you guys, giving you guys an inside look at what it takes to be great in this day and age. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back and close out the Tony Sands Show another Thursday of us giving you knowledge on the game.
We're back here live on the Tony Sands Show. Man, V, listen. I told you, man, I had so much fun with that interview. We were able to give so much knowledge to our listeners, how to play the game, what goes into the game, and how the game has changed. When you look at that interview, what's going through your mind?
Riveting information. First off, this big salute for Major Wright to come on to the Tony Sands Show and give us the information, Tony. I mean, first of all, he's a very personable guy. I've never had a chance to meet the guy, but he's a very personable guy. I really enjoyed what he had to say. The hit was incredible. I remember when he played football. I'm a Florida State guy. I never liked watching Major Wright play against us because that team and him was so aggressive, and they always used to do what they did, which was perform at a high level. So when I seen the interview, it was great information to show our young listeners in particular that, listen, this is what this man had to go through. He went through several different counties and towns in South Florida, in the state of Florida, Northern Florida, the Southern Florida. There's all kind of talent. For Major Wright to actually be able to excel in multiple districts, multiple towns, multiple counties, whatever we want to call it, this shows that this guy was an elite talent. Elite talent, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm glad that we actually had the ability to talk. You had the ability to talk to him, but I'm also glad for our young listeners that are out there that are striving to be whatever they're striving to be, whether it's an athlete or anything else in their lifetime. You have to be willing to be able to move around. And if you move around, you got to be willing to be successful and ambitious to be successful. You know what I mean?
And that's what he spoke about.
Right. And then coming out the tunnel, I mean, Tony, that was riveting information right there. I mean, I played high school football. I didn't make it past that. I'm 5'5". You know what I mean? You ran out the tunnel of Kansas in a big eight. All right. Big eight conference.
And
all of that. Major. That's big, right? It's major. So then we go to Major Wright and we ask this man, what's it like to run out of an NFL tunnel? I mean, that's the stuff that we all as fans dreamt about. You on your pillow at night, you sleeping on that, coming out as a cowboy. And Jerry pointing at you as you run out there. Right? You and Tony and Troy Aikman telling you, you know, we got Emmitt Smith, but Emmitt going to take a break, Tone. It's on you today, you know. You dreaming.
Yeah. Your shot. You got a chance.
You got a chance. And the dreams, man. So I'm so proud and happy for the man to actually work so hard.
And you know, he's
like, the reward.
You know, he writes child books now.
Does he really?
Yes, he writes child books to kids. So me and him had to speak in Miami on that.
You know what we got to do, but being at the holidays coming up, if we could, all right, you know, the holidays coming up, end of the year, Christmas and everything, we should put on the screen one of Major Wright's books.
We will.
For the community can go out and purchase one of his fans' books.
Yes.
And purchase one of his books. Because he's a personable guy. You can see right through the camera.
Yes.
He's a good man. He's a good human being. Guy. And listen, we only got a few more minutes left on the Tony Sands Show. Another great show. But what we need to say is Utah against Florida. Major Wright's at the game right now. Who you got tonight, Tony?
I got to go. I'm going Utah. I got to go Utah. Florida got too many recruits. Florida got too many transfers. And young freshmen on their team and then they're playing in Utah. So I'm going to go Utah. What you got?
I got Utah also, and for the same exact reason. Continuity and cohesion take weeks to build. think it's going to take some time with all these guys coming in and everything like that. So I agree with you. Utah Utes, I'm going to go by 10, 13 points.
You got it. And you heard it here on the Tony Sands Show. What a great interview. We had a great time bringing you sports knowledge. Swamp King, if you haven't seen it, go out and see it. If you haven't got Major Wright book, go and Google Major Wright, and you can see his children books that he is writing to help young men and young women with their lives and with the struggles that go into evolving as a young adult in this world. So we're signing off here on the Tony Sands Show. That's me. And that's who?
Mr. V.
And we're signing off here. We're closing out. Great show. See you, my
audience. Absolutely. See you next week. Yes, sir.